Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. I appreciate you being here this morning. We appreciate those who have been willing to serve our country. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Before we begin that, there was a phone found, a little pouch. If that's yours, I'm going to try to trust everybody here a little. So if that's your phone, I have it up here. Don't take it if it's not yours. It's a church, you know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, beginning in verse number 1. Got a lot of points here. We're trying to make it real quick, so I can't dwell on any of those, but I think you'll get the point as we go along. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the Lord, if you will. Most likely he led him to the Lord and has seen him rise up and seen him pastor churches and so forth. And he's given some encouragement. So these are called the pastoral epistles. Epistle simply means a letter, but he's helping Timothy along in his Christian walk and in an endeavor, and then, if you will, in the fight that he's going to have to endure as being a Christian during those years. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masters, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. And consider what I say, and the Lord giveth the understanding all these. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You can see in our application, our theme here, a soldier endures all things. Why? For the rest of the nation. He says, I endure all these things for the elect's sake. I'm not doing this for me alone. I'm doing it for those. In fact, I may not ever be able to enjoy what I'm fighting for. But I go beyond myself, and I think about those who are coming behind me, those who are still here, those who are left behind me, the family, the friends, the wives, the children, posterity, years to come. He says, I'm not fighting for me so much as I'm fighting for all of that. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, verse 11, "For we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Whether you believe all this or not doesn't make the difference. God is still God. He's not going to deny who he is. "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words and no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved." In other words, preparedness. "Study to show thyself approved unto God and workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You could say boot camp. Boot camp. You don't send them to the battlefield without boot camp. Verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, that they may increase unto more ungodliness." We got to make sure we know the rule. We got to know the command, and we got to know what the orders are going to be and how we do this. No, it's training. "And their word will eat as doth," because if you don't, it is going to mess everything up. "Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We've got to decide whether we're on his side or not, just as we are in the military. Listen, after a while, you find out who's on your side and who's not on your side. And though, if you're on the right side, you get rid of everything that goes against your side, anything that would increase the other side. We have to be loyal to it. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. My guess is, when you, if you folks who have been in the military, you saw some who were in it to win and some who were just in it to play games. They spent most of the night carousing someplace, and they weren't in this to win. There's some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor and sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee youthful lusts. He's talking about not being entangled with this world. Flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they be gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive of him at his will. There's an awful lot of good stuff. You know your word of God. You saw some things there. I take my text from verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to talk about being a good soldier. A good soldier. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for speaking to our hearts. I thank you for these men and women who've been willing to give of their time and their energy to secure our freedom and then to protect it. And I appreciate the ones right here. Appreciate Brother Fiddler's testimony, what he did. And many, there are, my guess is there's others among us that have done great things and no one knows but you. And yet, Lord, that doesn't make any difference, because when we stand before you, that's the one that we want to know, that we've done good, been a good and faithful servant to you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here these few moments. We only have a few moments, but Lord, I pray that you'll speak and give us what we need. I want to be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'm very grateful for the men and women who gave their lives and those who give their lives to fight for our freedom. Jesus also calls us to enlist our lives to bring others into the freedom of Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice, but the people are worth it. We must decide we're going to join the cause, possibly put certain areas of our lives on hold, and go out among the enemy and win the fight. 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What makes men free, and free indeed? The Bible says we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. See, we have liberty in Christ. Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Hey, we're Americans. We've never been in bondage to anybody. What do you mean you got to make us free? Jesus said, verily or truly I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the bond slave. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall, Jesus Christ, speaking of this, Jesus Christ, the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's talk about being a good soldier here for a few moments. Number one, a good soldier must enlist. I just missed the draft by a year or so. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so grateful for folks. Of course, I go down the hospital. I'm very grateful for the doctors and the nurses. They do a job that I don't think I could do. I don't know if I could do it. And you know what? I guess if it's you and no one else, I guess you do what you have to do. But I'll be honest with you, I started thinking when I was about 17, I was going to have to register for the draft. I'm thinking, what am I so? I'll be honest with you. I guess if I was looking down the end of a barrel, I guess I'd shoot. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to send somebody into eternity, not knowing where they're going to go. So I said, well, I'll either be a chaplain or join one of the military bands or something. I'm all in for the cause. I'm not sure I could shoot. I don't know whether I could shoot a rabbit and put food on the table either. I'm sorry. That's the way I am. But he calls us. And sometimes we got to decide we're going to join the cause. We must enlist. Let me ask you this first. Are you a citizen of the country? Do you know for sure if Jesus Christ died, that he died and paid for all your sins? Do you know for sure that you'll have a home in heaven when your time is up here on this earth? We have 70, 80 years here. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know for sure? You need to get that settled. Are you a citizen of heaven? Now, I'm glad right now I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I wouldn't want to be a citizen of any other nation. We've got our problems, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in all the whole world. That's the honest to goodness truth. But one of these days, even America will not be in existence. This earth will melt with a fervent heat. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. I'm glad I'm here during this time in history. But I want to make sure that I'm ready. Are you ready? The Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to go to heaven because God, in His mercy, sent Jesus Christ to this earth, placed all my sins and everybody else's sins on Jesus Christ. And when He died, it was finished, He said. He paid for all our sin. Now, He did it all. The fact is, men and women have died for our freedom in this country, but if I decide to move to another country, I'm not going to enjoy the freedom they bought. Now, Jesus Christ died and paid for all our sins, and we can all have it if we're willing to live it, if we're willing to live in it, so to speak. We're willing to take it, receive it. But we're not willing to accept Him as our Savior, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not willing to accept that gift. You say, well, I'm not deserving of that gift. That makes no difference. It's out of His mercy. Of course we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it to live in our end of country. We don't deserve to have these, as He said, many good men gave their lives in that unit He had that Brother Fiddler was talking about. We don't deserve for them to die for us, but they did. Now, don't let them die in vain and not take the gift. And don't let the fact that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins, don't let them die in vain, so to speak, and because He died with your sins. Your sins was added to Him. It was part of the weight that was on Him when He died on the cross. Take the gift. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if all the men came home from World War II having won freedom for us, and everybody said, you know, we don't want to live here anymore anyway. And it was a mass exodus out of USA, went back to Germany or someplace. So what in the world was I putting my life on the line for? The greatest respect for them that you can give them is to actually receive the gift that was given. The greatest respect we can give God is simply thank Him for the gift that He gave and take it. As a citizen, though, we enlist in the cause of Christ. How many folks have been inspired to go into the military because they've seen someone else who was in the military? Maybe it was a parade. Maybe it was just somebody in their fatigues at a fast food place. Seen something something inspired them. I'm going to make a difference with my life. They said, I'm going to enlist. Now, a soldier's life is not easy. A passage says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It can be uncomfortable. I mean, that's least you can say, huh? It can be inconvenient. It can be sacrificial. It can be unfair. The soldier sacrifices so the others may enjoy. One thing we do know in this battle, at least for the Lord, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Old song, I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Now listen, no one knows what's going to happen, but I do know this, we're on the winning side. If we suffer, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We're on the winning side. A good soldier must enlist. Number two, a good soldier has a purpose. A good soldier has a purpose. You don't just go into battle willy-nilly and just start shooting in into the air. You've got to know what you're going to know why you're doing it. A good soldier has a purpose. He's fighting the fight. Now, some folks have stopped fighting. Some have never started in the Christian walk. They're waiting for the commander to do all the work. The commander cannot win the battle without all the enlisted men. Some want to sit in camp and expect the battle to be fought for them without them having to lift a hand. If you're losing in the fight against sin, for instance, maybe you need to start fighting. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We need to fight the fight. I'm a Christian. I ought to live like a Christian. Now, I don't get to be a Christian because I live like a Christian, but if I'm a Christian, there ought to be something different going on in my heart. I ought to act like it. I ought to behave like it. I don't flee the junk that in the world is going to mess me up. So listen, we have been told so much in our society, oh, it's okay, just do whatever makes the difference. They're all supposed to love you anyway. Oh, we do love you anyway. This is really more for your benefit than ours. The victory that we come when we fight a good fight of faith. A good soldier must know. You're going to decide I'm going to be a soldier for Christ. I'm going to decide I'm going to fight against the fight of sin. You got to decide you're going to be what Christ wants you to be. You need to decide I want to be a good representative of my commander-in-chief, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to enlist. Number two, we got to have a purpose. And it's the fight of faith. Number three, a good soldier maintains readiness. A good soldier maintains readiness, preparedness, if you will. Listen, he doesn't go to battle in flip-flops and a t-shirt. Goes to battle with flip-flops and a t-shirt and holds one of those foam pool needles. Pool noodles. You ever seen those things? You know, those pool noodles there? You know what I'm talking about? You don't get much done. Some folks think they can fight the battle of the Christian life with the conveniences of the world. Well, if everybody would just leave me alone, not give me any problems, everything will go smoothly, then I'll be able to fight the battle. That's not a fight. That's not where we live. Listen, your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You have a fight to fight. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? Fight the fight of faith. Preparedness. What do we all do? All put on the armor of God. I can't spend a lot of time, but let me read this to you out of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in the world and its ways. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what it's saying? There are spies and snipers all around, and we're living as if they do not exist. Old Satan wants to take you down, and he's not going to come up. He's not going to come up to you in a red suit with ears and a tail and a pitchfork. He's going to come to you like a angel of light. Spies don't come in and announce myself. Well, hey, I'm a spy. I'm here to hear all your material. I'm going to take it back to where it came from. No. And listen, if we're duped, now you don't have to be scared of him. Listen, if you resist the devil, he'll flee. Well, how do you resist? Whom resists steadfast in the faith. What they're saying is, you do what you're supposed to do, God takes care of him. Don't fight him, because you'll end up over here in the briars trying to fight him, rolling around. You know what, both of you're going to be all beat up too. You don't need to roll around in the mud. Let the pigs roll in the mud. You stay where you're supposed to be. You fight the good fight of faith by staying faithful, doing what you're supposed to do, getting away from the stuff you're not supposed to do. Just put on the whole armor of God. Watch. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor. Well, I'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Listen. You don't go to battle and say, well, you know, I got a handgun. I know we're supposed to have a machine gun, but I got a handgun. I got a few bullets here in my pocket. We ought to be good. Don't live life like that. Put on the whole armor of God. Listen, that's why these doors are open on Sunday morning for Sunday school and Sunday morning worship. We call it worship. Listen, it's preaching time. We do our worship. It's preaching time. And then we're going to have Sunday night. We're going to have Wednesday night. We have Friday night for RU. We do things all the time. Why? Because we want to be able to have the whole armor of God. Now, if you're walking around the whole armor of God, you're in good shape. Especially if you're walking where the commander-in-chief wants you to walk. He says, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to still be standing when the battle's over, he says, having done all to stand, take on you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And by the way, it's not just one evil day. You get evil days all the time. So when the tough times come, when that day comes by that you don't like, you're going to be able to stand? Well, you're going to have the armor of God on there. You got to be a good soldier. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Do you know the word of God? Do you know what the commands are? Well, I don't know how to fight. Are we supposed to come from the back? Are we supposed to hit them right from the front? What are we supposed to do? Well, what's the commander say? Well, I don't know what the commander said. Well, you're a sitting duck, Buster. And people go into life and they're sitting ducks because they don't know what the commander has told them. They don't have their marching orders. Get your marching orders from the Word of God. This is how we're going to live it. We have our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You want to protect your heart. Out of the heart of the issues of life. Protect your heart and your vital organs. Righteousness. You do right. Most people get taken out because of friendly fire. In other words, they've let themselves open. It's going to take them down. How's this? Listen, if I don't go out and drink, chances are I'm not going to come home with a drunken stupor and beat my wife or my kids. I won't have a hangover so I can't go to work the next day. And by the way, if you think you can stand, you better think twice lest you fall. There's no temptation to take on you except that which is common to man. Do right, and it will save a lot of damage. Breastplate of righteousness. What? Your feet shod with the preparation of a gospel of peace. Listen, you don't go to war in flip-flops. Put on army boots. It protects you from all the mess, the matter, shrapnel, who knows what that you may be walking on. And you can go ahead and walk on it because you've got you can handle it. There's an isolation, so to speak. There's a padding. There's an insulation. And when you've got the gospel of peace, you know you're saved. You're saved. You're saved. You know that you know. The worst thing that can happen to me is I die and I go to heaven. Listen, I can fight the good fight of faith because I know that whatever happens, you see, well, all these things in the world, I don't have to walk. You know, I remember when I was a kid, the first the, the, the first time it was hot out there, and you know, and you take your shoes off, and you're running across the blacktop or the stones, and you're tenderfoot, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And by the end of the summer, it doesn't make any difference, you know, because you're calloused. The best thing to do is put some shoes on, by the way. But anyway, I'm not going to say that. But put some shoes on. That's what it does. You can, when you realize that everything's in God's hands, you can face life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, how do I know I'm going to make it? God said so. I've got the promises of God. If you don't have the promises of God, you've got to live by faith. Just or live by faith. But you got to know what you're supposed to know before you can have faith in it. It's not faith and faith and faith and faith. The faith is only good as the object of your faith. The faith is the Word of God, the truth. And when you realize that, you know, listen, old devil, anybody else can say, well, you know what, listen, all the trash talk and all that stuff doesn't mean a thing. Because I know who's in control. It quenches all those fiery darts, the faith. And the helmet of salvation. Again, I know that I'm saved. Keep that in your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No matter what the army, whatever, no matter what the world throws at me, the Word of God puts everything in its place. If it's false, it slices it up. If it's true, it supports it. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's he saying? Consistently stay in contact with headquarters. A good soldier is prepared. A good soldier is not only prepared for that. We talked about faith. Let me just say this. He trusts not in men nor in princes. Psalm 118 says this, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And it says, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Psalm 20 says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. A good soldier has to enlist. A good soldier has a purpose. A good soldier maintains readiness with the armor of God. Number four, a good soldier is focused. Focused. Don't go in a battle thinking about a card game you played last night. Focused. You know, folks, we ought to live life on purpose. We miss out on so much of life because we don't live it on purpose. Do you have a purpose? What am I doing? Am I just going from day to day to day to day to day? A good soldier is focused. In our passage, it says this in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you realize a lot of professional ball teams, and I know a lot of college ball teams, even some high school ball teams, if there's a game the next day, they have a certain protocol that they're supposed to obey that night. You're in bed by a certain time. You don't do this. You don't drink this. You don't eat this. You got to be. I mean, they said, why? Because if you want to win this thing, we can't be entangled with all the world. We should not be easily distracted. Hebrews 12 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I can't spend much time here, but a good soldier is focused. He knows what he's doing. He's not letting the rest of the world get him distracted. Number five, a good soldier is faithful. You know what? A soldier that's not faithful is almost an enemy. You're expecting him to hold up his end of the line. If he's not holding up his end of the line, he's basically doing the enemy a favor. Well, I do it most of the time. Well, then how do we know you're going to do it when you need to do it? Listen, you know what? Take him out of there. We can't take those chances. Remove him from the line. Put somebody in there who's good. Well, maybe he's not as good, but he's going to do the job. He's not sleeping on the job. He's got to be faithful. Going along with this, listen, a good soldier, being faithful, a good soldier supports the cause. Supports the cause. Now, don't get mad at me here. I'm going to say some things here in a second. Don't get mad at me, but I want you to think about it. If he supports the cause, his heart is in the action. He's not just doing, his heart is in the action. You ever heard the saying, once a Marine, always a Marine? Huh? Yeah. And that's all right, that's good. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Sometimes a little gruff, but once a Marine, always a Marine. Why? Because we learned if we do it this way, we'll get the job done. We're focused. We've got a purpose. We're doing this. That's good. But hang on. There are probably no more patriotic people than those who have put their life on the line for our country. Isn't that interesting? The ones who paid the greatest price, who went out and put their life, they're probably the most patriotic out of the bunch, even after they've been done. Listen, even some of our Vietnam vets who came back to the scorn of our country, shame on us. And some of those are some of the most patriotic. And they're the ones who laid their life on the line. But wait, listen, some people are veterans all day, every day, like the song I sang. Brother Fiddler, he's a veteran all day, every day. It's all part of who he is. It's part of his core. I mean, the other folks around here, Brother Tolly Reese, he was in the military for a long time. That's just part of who he is. That's good. And we need to honor them continually. But hang on. Listen to me. We need to be Christians all day, every day. Well, isn't a nice little application? Listen, this world is going to pass away. That world is going to be here forever. My citizenship is in heaven. Now, I need to be as good a citizen as I can be, as I'm a pilgrim in this world, and I happen to be in America. There should be no better citizens than Christians. But wait a minute. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to use this. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I want you to see the comparison here. There are some people who fear the flag more than they fear God. You don't just be quiet with me here. I'm all for waving a flag. Don't get me wrong, but watch this. We want to make sure we don't fly the flag wrong. I agree. But then it doesn't matter if we live wrong. I'm a patriot. Take care of my flag. I know what it represents. But just as much as we are a patriot, we need to be a Christian. They wouldn't think of desecrating the flag, but have no problem using the Lord's name in vain. Who gave us this nation? Lord Jehovah is the one who rises empires up and puts them down. With one little... he can put our lights out. We have a dust-covered Bible lies on the table under a pile of newspapers, or in the trunk in the car, but we want to make sure the flag doesn't touch the ground. Now, we all don't let the flag touch the ground. But my goodness, this is the word of the Lord God Almighty who gave His life. You say, well, that flag represents all those people who gave their lives for us. And this represents a Savior who died and paid for our sins and gave us eternal life. Little banner right here in the back. Some of you will see it when you go out. But that, we're not sure whether it was World War I or World War II. But it hung in a business down here. And if you'll notice, there's blue stars on there, but there's two gold stars at the bottom. That's the one who died. They're the ones who died. There's the gold star moms and all those. We've got to be careful with that. We need to honor that. I appreciate that. But no, listen, no less for my Savior. We make sure we stand when the flag goes by. We take our hat off and salute. Place our hand over our heart, but we can't bother to sit in a padded pew in an air-conditioned room out of respect for God and His Word, the one who died for us. I'm glad you're proud to wear a uniform, and I like it. And I wear mine too. We can put forth the effort to make sure we wear the uniform according to proper decorum. And yet sometimes we give little thought for how we represent our Savior. I'm a soldier of Christ. If you're saved, you're in. But are you an enlisted soldier? You may be a citizen, but are you a soldier? We need to be faithful. We need to support the cause. A soldier who's faithful doesn't fraternize with the enemy. Doesn't fraternize with the enemy. James 4:4 tells us this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? You saw somebody, if you saw one of your military comrades having a big long conversation with somebody that you know is on the other side, you're going to start waving some flags here. You're going to wonder what's going on. Are they on our side or are they on the other side? Can I trust them? Can I not trust them? Listen, we should be so much on the one side that there's no doubt where we stand. He says, do you think that the Scripture saith the vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But it giveth more grace where he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, we got a side. Whose side we're on. Friendship with the world. We're going to live with the world. We're going to dress like them. We're going to look like them. We're going to do what they do. Talk like they do. Listen, I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm blessed. I like it when I see somebody. They got their veteran hat on there. There's nothing wrong with that. I was in Burger King one day, as you can tell I go. But anyway, I was in Burger King one day, and there was a couple soldiers there. And they were there they were in their fatigues. They were right in front of me. And they got ready. They came up to the cash register, and I jumped in to try to buy their lunch. And three other people did the same thing at the same time. So I bought one, and someone else bought one. We ought to honor our vets. They're soldiers of Christ. And you know what they're saying? This is who I am. There are some people who don't like who they are. Remember when the men came back from Vietnam? Man, some of them were spit upon. Yet they were doing what their country had called them to do. And as a soldier for Christ, somebody may look down on you. They may just disregard you. They may do more and despise you. We're going to stand because that's where we're standing. Not only does he fight for the cause, supports the cause, doesn't fraternize, a good soldier obeys his commander. You think you're living for Christ? Well, do you obey the commander? Do you follow the commands? Serious. Well, we don't need to get, listen, we don't need to follow commands to get saved. Nope, you sure don't. You can be a citizen. I'm talking about being a soldier. Stand up for the cause. Do something with our lives. Make a difference in somebody else's life. Take a stand so somebody else won't fall. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Romans 6 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. If a soldier's not going to obey, he's not worth it. He's dangerous. A good soldier fights a good fight unto the end. He's faithful. Supports the cause, doesn't fraternize with the enemy. He obeys the commander and he fights a good fight until the end. No regrets. 2 Timothy, I read it there. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masters, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, I'm fighting. No, you're doing it the way God wants it to be done. I don't want to play church. You know, it's fun as little boys, you play soldier. Doo, doo, doo. Oh, you got me. And then there's a real world. And a real adversary who's out for blood. But by the blood, we have a Heavenly Father. But we need to enlist and fight the good fight. 2 Timothy 4, Paul says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How do you fight? Steadfast in the faith. Fight a good fight of faith. Do what God says to do and just forget about asking questions. Listen, you're in the military, and the commanding officer says, he gives a command, you don't say, well, you think that's good? Well, I'm not so sure. I tell you what, I got an idea here. Well, if it turns out it goes that direction, I'm in, but if it doesn't, I got a plan B here. That's not what a good soldier does. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Down front here at the altar table, there's a little banner there. It says, Welcome Home. Somebody had made that at the end of World War II when the boys were coming home. We'll be home. We're coming home. We're not all coming home. But we're coming home. And when they marched into town, cities roared, all shook from the sound. The rejoicing. The soldiers are home. Listen, when we stand before God, I want him to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Rejoice, let the angels rejoice, let the Lord rejoice. We're going to rejoice. The crown of righteousness. And it says, and not for me only, Paul says, but on all them also that love his appearing. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh us, but life in you. I may have to give my life so someone else has life. No, don't. I'm not complaining. But it's been many a day on a Saturday. There's always things going on around, you know, the neighborhood, the community, in different towns, and they do it on Saturday. I understand that. Saturday's my day to visit in the morning and finish up my messages in the afternoon. Make sure I'm fresh and ready to go. Now, I'm not complaining. When you enlist, there are some things you kind of give up. Now, most people wouldn't have to give that up, but the fact is, there's been a lot of times I would have liked to go and do this. That sounds pretty cool. I like to. It's not going to happen. I don't sit there and dwell on it. It's just not going to happen. There's a bigger scheme of things. A good soldier enlists. A good soldier knows his purpose. A good soldier maintains readiness. He puts on the armor of God, knows who to trust. A good soldier is focused, and a good soldier is faithful, supporting the cause, not fraternizing with the enemy, obeying the commander and fighting good faith. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Father, thank you for being with us here this morning. We thank you for the men and women who've given their lives, and some who've had to pay the ultimate price, but those who are willing, it's just the same in their heart. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, who was willing to endure the cross for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, having us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here. Lord, be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray they'll come to know Christ. They become a citizen of the country. And Lord, I pray that we got some citizens in here, and maybe some haven't enlisted yet, or maybe they need to re-enlist. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to stand and be good soldiers for Christ. Heads are bowed and